Good Friday morning, I'm Anna Palmer. There are 4 days until the midterm election, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by Charter Communications.
And I'm Jake Sherman. First in Playbook this morning, Al Hunt is leaving Bloomberg News in December after 14 years. He was most recently a columnist for Bloomberg, but also served as its D.C. bureau chief. Hunt, who will be 76 in December, will continue teaching a course on press and politics at the University of Pennsylvania's Annenberg School for Communications. He spent the bulk of his D.C. career, 39 years at the Wall Street Journal, as a reporter and bureau chief.
With immigration taking such a major role in the elections, we started wondering yesterday whether there was a plan in place to fund President Donald Trump's border wall. Each person we spoke to in the Capitol said they had no idea how the fight would play out, and noted that there are no serious talks underway yet. This will need to get done this year. It is going to be a long 8 weeks.
One constant during Trump's presidency is that he seems surprised by the constraints of the office. He came in as CEO of a family real estate empire who had to learn how to deal with Congress, congressional leaders, and the guardrails around the executive branch. If Democrats take the House, Trump will be further shackled. The policy preferences he's enumerating at this moment, new asylum policies, a militarized southern border, and a new tax bill, would go up in smoke in divided government.
Here's something that's pretty stunning. Alaska Representative Don Young, the longest-serving member of the House, who was first elected to Congress in 1972, is down 1 point to Elise Galvin, a Democrat and an Anchorage businesswoman. The New York Times' David Brooks is calling the election a realignment election, and that he believes the election will be shaped by people hardening into their categories. CNN has a look at the early data. More than 20 million early votes have been cast so far, with women and older voters leading the way.
The leadership battles are already beginning. John Bresnahan and Rachel Bade report that the CBC wants one of its own as speaker or majority leader, which could be a threat to Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer. However, Jim Clyburn told them he does not plan to challenge either of the Democrats. Meanwhile, Rachel and Alana Schneider report that Pelosi has already been making a stealth play for speaker, including nudging donors toward candidates and appearing at private fundraisers with Democratic hopefuls who don't want to be seen with her publicly.
Gabby Orr is up with a story looking at how President Donald Trump's obsession with immigration on the campaign trail is creating fear among some Republicans that the strategy could backfire. On the world stage, Eliana Johnson has a story up looking at how Senator Ted Cruz and other hawks are looking to pressure Trump by introducing legislation that will pressure the president to cut off several Iranian banks from the global banking network known as SWIFT. And Reuters reports that U.S. job growth was expected to have rebounded in October.
Andrew Restucci is in Columbia, Missouri, and reports that Trump has been treading lightly in his criticism of Claire McCaskill. Zach Montalaro reports that Iowa Congressman Steve King's opponent is seeing a major uptick in donors following his recent controversy. On the investigations front, The Times is reporting that Roger Stone acted like he was a pipeline to WikiLeaks during the 2016 Trump campaign.
Here's what's on tap for Trump's Friday. The president will leave the White House at 2:15 p.m. to head to Huntington, West Virginia. He will headline a political rally at 4 p.m. Afterward, he will fly to Indianapolis at 7:15 p.m. There, Trump will speak at a political rally at Southport High School. He's spending the night in Indianapolis. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.